These four principles, which we will hear about, and discuss about, and sing about, and talk about, and cry about, because we will see some of them we have, but only in their baby forms, and we would like to have them in a more grown and more manifest form, are really pillars of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And because they are so important, the Lord does not speak so much about them himself. This sounds like a contradiction. What? There's something important, and therefore the Lord does not speak about them himself. Well, Lord Krishna often makes his, and also Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we will see, make their points through their devotees. Krishna says to Arjuna, "You declare it boldly, my devotee will never perish." So, in this case, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appointed four of his devotees to teach the pillars of his movement. He has appointed four devotees to teach the essential principles of spiritual life. Before I start, I want to say principles in spiritual life are so extremely important. They are like the dharma. Whenever you protect dharma, dharma will rush from its neutral state to an extremely active state. Dharma, which is protected by you, will come to your aid and protect you. So these principles are also like this. If you wake them up in your life, if you contact them and arise them to the active state by just trying to do as much as you can on these principles, these powerful principles will come up and begin to carry you in your Krishna consciousness. It is very, very nice to understand. It's very important to understand this. It's just like the sattva gun. If you do something in the mode of sattva, virtue, how do we say sattva? The mode of goodness. Then you will be aided and assisted by them. So as you can see, I'm still a little bit over-traveled. Or as Leela Dara would say, who is my doctor, I have a lot of vata at this moment. You just please have to help me to set up the time frame. Until which time can I go, please? Is there something? Up till 12 o'clock. Okay, that is sufficient. Yes. Here. Okay, yes. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya
Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Oh, for
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Radha Gopinatha, Radha Gopinatha, Radhe.
The first principle out of the four I found is something which the Western mind has difficulty with. At least I can speak for myself. It is simplicity. Simplicity in our Western language may not carry the same as simplicity carries for an Indian. I have seen in India someone, the devotees, when they want to praise someone, they say, "You are very simple." This is a gross offense for a Westerner. And what? I went to school? we Westerners are complicated and not simple. And we are other things which we will learn today about, which can be overcome by adopting a spiritual principle of saralata. The Sanskrit word saralata carries really the impact and import of the word simplicity, which is the true, which is the meaning which is intended when you want to praise someone. Oh, so nice to see a simple person like you. Sara means essence. A person who is equipping himself with simplicity is an essence lover. He goes to the core. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, Sarvata e Vaishnavata. Vaishnavata means Vaishnavism. Means saralata or simplicity. And he would pronounce the need for simplicity in an almost preachy, if not very straightforward and piercing way. He said, it is better to remain in the species of birds and beasts than to obtain a human birth but allow duplicity to enter the heart. The exact opposite of simplicity is duplicity. Srila Valadev Vidya Bhushana would define as simplicity as no duplicity, or to be willing to give up all pretension and ego. That means no personal politics are used by a person who wants to practice simplicity in order to reach his ends. In the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada gives this definition of simplicity, which really means to be straightforward, not using pretension or diplomacy. Those of you who are devoted note takers, it's in the Gita 13th chapter, in the purports to 8 of the 8th to the 12th verse. These verses are compact together, and you will find there are many qualities and also simplicity as a means to reach jnana or vijnana, also spiritual knowledge actually. Simplicity means, says Prabhupada, that without diplomacy one should be so straightforward that one can disclose the real truth even to an enemy. So to give you a little relief from your concentrated hearing, I will tell you a story which Srila Prabhupada told in this connection. He told the story of a Brahmin boy who once he told the story of a boy who wanted to have training as a Brahmana. He didn't go to the Radhadesh College, but he went, like it was done in old times, to a Rishi, Gautama Rishi, and he expressed his desire. Gautama Rishi said, what is your family background? It was a routine question. The boy thought for a while and said, I don't really know. I will have to go to my mother. So when he came back from his mother, he came back with a certain answer. He said, Rishi, Gautama Rishi, Revered Sir, my mother does not know who is my father. My mother is a woman from the street. There were many possible fathers at that time. Oh, said Gautama Rishi, and he reflected for a while. And then his face beamed with joy, and he said, you are fit for Brahminical training. Took him in his school. Because simplicity or arjavan is an essential Brahminical principle. This boy was so simple in the sense of not using pretensions to get his goal that he was accepted as a trainee for Brahman. It was a good quality. In our Western society, simplicity is really not so much in vogue. I remember how my desire for training was once rejected on the basis of my being simple. I was born, I grew up on an island, and I was looking a lot as a young boy on the ocean and saw the ships going on the horizon and said, one day I wish to also be on a ship in the ocean. Then our family went to the big city on the mainland of Germany, Hamburg, and my boyish desire was still there, but not as intense, and I did not feel any commitment to go to the sea. I wanted to become a rock and roll star when I was younger. When I was in the city, I was influenced by the mode of passion, not by the island mood. This is maybe a little bit more with the nature and in this sense more sattvic. But I wanted to go for one holiday on the ship, and I went to a big shipping company, and the company said, I had trainings to become a person who works on the ship for free. And I said, I'm from a good family. Please take me as a trainee to learn on the ships. And the man who interviewed me said, do you intend to go for your whole life on ships? No, no, I will play the guitar, I said. Then he said, he asked me, you are in an interview, you should, if you want to get the place, you have to say you want to go for a whole life on the ship, because only then we give you. But I said, no, I'm not going to manipulate here the situation. I tell you the simple truth. You are so simple, he said. You're not fit for life, and I can't get you on the ship if you don't. Why don't you give a lying answer? Something in me said, I will tell him of my coveted career as a singer and guitar player. So he said, you are too naive, it won't be good for you. I can't get you on the ship. So simplicity, to tell the simple truth, is something very important, and we should think about this. But I want to move on further now with you to go into other dimensions of simplicity. There is what we can call an outer dimension of simplicity and also an inner dimension of simplicity. And this is very important. It's almost like a banana who has an outer peel and then inside the peel the actual fruit. Just like we would say in the case of a banana, the fruit is more important than the protecting peel. In the same way, we would say the inner dimension of simplicity is more important than the outer aspect or dimension of simplicity. But because we see the outer dimension before we actually can see the inner dimension, I will start by explain this part of this little lecture with the outer dimension of simplicity. The outer dimension for a Vaishnav means to be happy with whatever Krishna supplies. In a simple lifestyle. Prabhupada, he told us the story of one simple Brahmana in Krishnanagar who lived by training a few students and was in a quite poor situation. A rich zamindar, almost like a king, who at that time ruled over Krishnanagar, visited this Brahmana one day. This kingly person was known to support spiritualists and Brahmanas. And he also offered his monetary help, financial help to the Brahmana. But the Brahmana preferred a simple life. He said, No, I am satisfied. My students give me sometimes some rice, and look at this tamarind tree. I take the leaves and boil them with water, and then I have a nice spicy tamarind sauce. That is sufficient for me. Srila Prabhupada also lived an outer, simple lifestyle himself. I heard in a lecture by Radhanath Maharaj that when Prabhupada was given his very opulent or relatively opulent living quarters in Los Angeles, where he had a luxurious rooms and so on, and was once asked how he likes it, he says, I yearn to be back in my quarters in Radha Damodar. There he had his rope bed. Do you know what a rope bed is? Our Gurangaji can tell you how a rope bed is, Indian bed. Leela Dara, most probably you also sleep on a rope bed. It's sufficient, it's simple but nice. And he had a clay floor in the Radha Damodar temple. But he liked the simplicity. I once came into the room of Radhanath Maharaj in Mumbai, where this very opulently looking Radha Gopinath temple is. It has now a nice, very nice marble and sandstone decorative exterior. And in his room there are only straw mats. And no chairs, you have to sit on the floor. And I said to him, Maharaj, you're now getting older, wouldn't you like to have like a chair maybe? Then it's something to sit on or something which makes life easier. And he said, No. Simplicity is my real wealth. This outer or external form of simplicity makes life quite easy. When you have so many things to take care of, you develop dependency on these things and lose your freedom into the hands of these things. It's preferable to have a simple lifestyle and simple outer lifestyle for spiritual life, because it frees the mind, it is more sattvic, and so on. The second dimension of simplicity is an inner dimension. It has a lot to do with simple faith. Srila Prabhupada once explained simplicity when he was asked, what does it mean with a little situation which devotees know in the Hare Krishna movement? Simplicity means when you step before Radha and Krishna, the deities, you understand, here is Radha Krishna. It's a very nice dimension, isn't it? Have simple faith in the words of Guru and Shastra. Don't make things so complicated and get involved in relativity. Prabhupada, to my mind, has shown this simple faith in the words of Guru and Shastra When it came to the moon landing, you must know, I'm here with Omila. We are your oldest by age. We have crossed maybe 50. At least I have crossed 50. A lady is not to be asked what is her age, at least not in Germany. And the moon landing, at least for me, for my generation in Europe, was a great thing. We would all sit before the TV and see it black and white, because that was the style. There was no color TV. And I remember I was sweating all over the body. They touched the moon with their... Prabhupada always said they never went to the moon. One of his servants at that time, I think his name was Purushottama, did not believe that, and he wanted his victory over Prabhupada's opinion. He one day got a TV set, and he said, "Prabhupada, now we see the moon landing." Prabhupada thought, "Let us combine the training of my disciples with something practical," and he had a hair shave while he was looking at the TV. And then they landed on the moon in the TV. This great triumph in his eyes. Purusha Shatam asked Prabhupada, "So, we have seen?" Prabhupada said, "They never went to the moon." Purushottam was slowly coming to his ultimate limits. With great disappointment, he went into the kitchen to do his routine service of preparing the noon meal for Srila Prabhupada. All of a sudden, you heard an explosion from the kitchen. Everyone was worried. But only Prabhupada commented dryly, "Purushottam went to the moon." A second later, the door was opening, and there was Purushottam. The chants had exploded and sprayed all over his garments and his face. He looked out. Purushottam had gone to the moon. So this is a simplicity on Prabhupada's side. He does not doubt the words of Guru and Shastra. Life is simple for him. As you all know, many people, even in America, where the moon landing was supposed to be done, say they actually did not went to the moon. It was a movie only, which was made. So this simple phase is something which is very, very necessary for a devotee. Lord Krishna reveals himself on the basis of faith. We need, so to say, to build a road of faith so that the Lord can come and enter our heart. He will not enter our heart through any other road than the road of this simple faith. You could even say childlike faith, if you would approach it from the Western perspective. If you would approach it from the Eastern perspective, you would say saint-like faith. But because we don't know this culture so well, I will say here childlike faith. This is a simplicity which is very much desired. Let me now look at the wristwatch and then continue. I would like to now do two more things and then open up for questions and answers. Tomorrow I will not be so formal, but I really want to go through all the points with you, and then we have a little bit more interaction. No, here we can just ask for one or two good questions on the subject. Camilla.
In our mission to Srila Prabhupada.
Mm-hmm.
But if we accept something that could be very, very useful in our particular service, then that thing may also make our life very complicated. And how do we
Yeah. Umila Mataji has asked a very important question. I will repeat it for the tape or ePort or MP3 or CD listening posterity. We are becoming really yukta vairagya, you know, when you see all these machines. Well, it's no longer the simple tape recorders. It's these devices, you know, they can store maybe, I don't know, the whole universe of sound in this in Hare Krishna. Yes. Umila has asked, we have the principle of yukta vairagya. So when we become very simple in the outward sense, we adopt outward simplicity, then we may not use what can be used in Krishna service. On the other hand, if we use things on the platform of on the basis of yukta vairagya, our lives may become very complicated. So where to go? I think one of Lord Krishna's names can give us an answer. One of Lord Krishna's names is Niranjana. We have a wonderful devotee, Niranjana Maharaj. Niranjana means without, I only know the Serbian word, but you will understand it, Shminka. You understand Shminka? Oh, makeup. Yeah, makeup. I believe makeup in Serbia means something else than America. I'm of course not an expert in makeup, but when you say Schminka, I think the word carries. It's much nicer than makeup. Makeup is so flattering, but Schminka means to smear and so on. It is like really heavy colors, 1 centimeter thick. And Schminka, I think you are subtle people. Schminka carries a lot. We have this in Russian language? No? We don't have. Or it's not good for a sannyasi to know. it means like... for me, this means the opposite to outer simplicity. I'm now not talking about... it's not a political lecture about styles in ISKCON. Please do not misunderstand me. I'm speaking about distorting the reality with a lot of chemicals on the face. Hare Krishna. We have to be sometimes a little careful. We want to keep our large membership enlivened. Krishna is called Niranjana. Without Anjana, or the covering, you could say, of the material energy. I feel the same holds true in outer simplicity. We can learn from this word, in outer simplicity. When we use things and it covers our real purpose, the word here is, the important word is covering or cover, then it will become counterproductive to our purpose. And I really feel It's good to first have a little training in outer simplicity before you go too creative into Yukta Vairaga. Yeah. You might cheat yourself. I'm using all these things to serve Krishna better, and it is covering over the real truth. As some of you know, I'm one of the last almost belligerent enemies of the computer. I have seen that the computer, yes, can be used, but it steals so much time. It is very often a time stealer. But it is pronounced to be a time savior. Computer is a good example. If you really use it, disciplined for your purpose in Krishna consciousness, it's wonderful. It's excellent. Oh, the publishing has become so easier, so much easier. The communication also. But you must be careful. It can pull you from your actual purpose, and you become a computer person, and you give much time to the computer. So Yukta Vairagya works only if you are worshipping Lord Krishna, the Niranjana, and you really are looking for saralata, simplicity. Simplicity will protect you to use Yukta Vairagya in a real way. Simplicity will help you to be without pretension, so that you will really only take those things which you need. Simplicity will, if you are trained in simplicity, will also help you to not be so attracted to so many external things, which, for instance, a computer or anything of this world can offer you. I think this honesty, or this inner dimension of simplicity, will help you to deal with Yukta Vairagya in a responsible way. That is, really take what you can use and not make the mistake to take things which are really not for your devotional service. If you don't have inner simplicity, you will not be able to have outer simplicity in practice. This is as good as I can do, Omila. I will think more about it. I said I would take two questions. Please be kind with me and allow me to stay to keep it with this question, because I have such excellent points. You know, as a I can still talk like this. In 3 days I can't talk like this any longer, because then we do humility. But these are so I really want to go through, and when we have time we will go. The example of the devotee through which Lord Chaitanya taught simplicity is Damodar Pandit. And I would like to tell you one or maybe two leelas, and you will see through this devotee what simplicity could mean in outer life or in practice. Damodar Pandit had association with Lord Chaitanya already in Navadvip, and he came with the Lord from Navadvip to Puri and stayed with him. He had a very dear brother, Shankar Pandit is his name, who had a very far out nickname. He was called the Pada Padhan of Mahaprabhu. In English this means the foot pillar of Mahaprabhu. The foot pillow, not pillar, pillow. Is my English sufficient to pillow? Where you, the foot pillow of Mahaprabhu. He got this name because when Mahaprabhu was in the Gambira, he would always require a devotee who would be with him in his highly ecstatic states of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes Mahaprabhu had hurt himself by rubbing his soft face in the deep pangs of separation at the wall of the Gambhira, and actually he was bruised at that time. So the devotees always had a devotee staying with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take care that he would be protected, so to say, or he would be taken care of. Now Mahaprabhu loved Shankar Pandit so much that he was very free with him, and sometimes for comfort he would put his legs on Shankar. He was resting here and he would put his rest slightly upwards on Shankar's body. Once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke with Damodar Pandit, the brother of Shankar Pandit, about his younger brother. He said, my love for you, Damodar Pandit, is mixed with reverence, but I just love Shankar with all my heart. For this reason, I put him under your care. Why was Mahaprabhu's love for Damodar Pandit mixed with reverence? Because Damodar Pandit acted very simple with Mahaprabhu. There was a time when Mahaprabhu was visited regularly by a very gentle and handsome boy who looked for his association. And Mahaprabhu was kind and with him, spoke with him and accepted him in his close vicinity. Damodar Pandit was worried. Why was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so merciful to this boy? Didn't he know, this is Damodar Pandit's thought, that he is the son of a widowed Brahmin lady? Boy was coming every day, because boys go where their hearts are. Young boys and girls go where their hearts are. We also go where our hearts is, eventually. Finally he stood up to the boy and said, "Don't go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please." The boy became worried, but found his way to visit Mahaprabhu every day. One day, the good-hearted Damodar Pandit just exploded. He went directly before the Lord. In a highly straightforward manner, he told him, "My dear Lord, you are a sannyasi. You are associating so affectionately with this boy whom you receive every day. And you give him, and you are so merciful to talk with him. But don't you know that this boy has is coming from a widow who has lost her husband? What will the people talk?" Then he said, "My dear Lord, you can act as you please, but the entire world is impudent. They will make rumors." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased when he heard this. He smiled and he said smilingly, "This impudence on your side," like, to give the Lord an advice like that, "is also a sign of your pure love for me. I have no other intimate friend like Damodar Pandit. Only he can say this to me." Damodar Pandit then was sent to protect Mother Sachi and give news of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the Navadvip Vasis. He took prasadam and pacified them. And when he was there in Navadvip, everyone knew Damodar Pandit was so strict in his practical dealings of Vaishnavism that he verbally chastised people who were not on track, so to, on track, this is what we would say in ISKCON, but you know who, this, like this. He would verbally chastise them so that no one dared to do anything independently of the prescriptions in the Shastra. In this way, he established the standard etiquette of Vaishnavism. Mahaprabhu once commented that, Damodar, you are most neutral amongst my associates. It's very good, for without being neutral, one cannot protect religious principles. Here the word neutral is used for straightforwardness or simplicity or no duplicity. My dear devotees, how nice and easy our life could be if we could just be simple. We wouldn't be entangled. Our ISKCON society would not be so complicated. There would be no fear to tell the truth if we would have a culture of simplicity. If we would live more outwardly simple by not covering everything under the carpet of Yukta Vairagya, which is something which is sometimes done, maybe in our lives, and so on. If we could have simple faith, how easy it would be. If we would have childlike faith. In Germany we always say, lice have short legs. And someone with short legs can't walk so far. And you have long legs, you get further down the road easier. Simplicity is such a good principle that Mahaprabhu taught this through Damodar Pandit, a great devotee of his. Hare Krishna. Now for the end, after this somewhat preachy appeal, you will hear a little simplicity workshop, if we can call it like this. A workshop would be ideal if we would have the time and if we could have exercises. But here I will just give two, three principles how to develop simplicity. And I think this workshop has a second part. This is your life outside of this course. You might like to try these principles as you move about in the community, and you might see what comes out of it. I guess many of these principles are known in this exalted association of devotees, but maybe there's one or two tips for you to take on in your life. First of all, I would like to tell you that Mahaprabhu had two Pandits, Damodar Pandit and Jagadananda Pandit. And Jagadananda Pandit spoke once about simplicity for the devotees of Gauranga. He said, if you want to worship our Lord Gauranga, make your heart simple and straightforward. Worship the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga, giving up duplicity and deceit. Merely saying, I belong to Gauranga, I belong to Gauranga, is giving him lip service and has no actual effect. Following the example of Lord Gauranga, his actions and his sentiment will bear real fruits. It's nice, huh? How Jagadananda Pandit says. So, summarizing this course and lecture, I will now give you three things to do. I will first appeal to my sleeping members. Be awake. This is the essence. Let me see if you are with us. We should, Manohar, maybe you would like to open the windows. Radha Damodar, Radhika Raman is your name, or Radha Raman. Could you offer them fully, because the sun is rising, and so is our digestion, so we are a little restful. Mm. first thing of simplicity, taking the definition that simplicity means no duplicity, is to be honest. In other words, don't try to look good. That is, you think in one way and you speak and act in another way. This can create mental tension to think in one way and act in another way, which can build up and then become, after some time, a bad feeling, and after some time, even a disease. Health people have found out that when you don't feel good about what you do, it's not honest, it's not real, it's not authentic, you will have a bad feeling. Why did I do this? Why did I have to say this again? This little small lie, this social lie. Then from the tension which builds up, usually some disease comes. If you don't follow the signal in the world of emotions, the signal becomes a little stronger in the world of the body. The very subtle thing becomes dense and more visible and is then confronting you in the body. You get a disease. When you don't act on the disease, then you usually get a chronic problem. When you don't act on the signal which the chronic problem gives you, then something bad happens. You have either an accident or a death. When you don't act on the signal which the death gives you, or the accident, you get an unhealthy rebirth where you continue with the same pattern. It's important to be simple, to be straightforward, to be honest, because it's dharmic. And if you go against it, oops, the problem. For instance, to be honest, I would like to give a little example which will make an ISKCON audience smile. Imagine you sit there in Mayapur and Prashadam comes by. I had this once in my life. And you were talking with someone about renunciation and sincere Krishna consciousness next to you. I know we should not speak during Prashadam, but it happens most of the time. The Prashadam comes by and now you really want to look good. And you say, Prabhu, I had enough. I eat only as much as is needed to keep body and soul together. And the bucket Prabhu, and goes further and gives the other devotee his helping. And then you think, that was my favorite preparation. And the bucket disappears on the horizon of the Mayapur project. You were not simple. You were not honest. Now you have a problem. Your favorite preparation has disappeared. And you will then make a detective work to find it in the afternoon. Have a second helping at not the right time. Or, you know, when you are with someone and he explains something very high and it looks foolish to say, I couldn't follow, then you say, I have understood. Yes. But when life comes, you can't act on the knowledge because it's so clouded. Something, but not. You don't know the real thing. But just for convenience sake, to look good, you said, I have understood. Say, it's not yet clear. I'm a little bit slow. Please, again, tell me. The Prabhu or the explainer will feel charmed. Simplicity or honesty is charming. It's not disadvantageous. But when you are with a thief, honesty is disadvantageous. If you say, all my money is in my suitcase on the left side, then that's not so good. But, in general. The next thing which I found out is very important in a growing ISKCON community. Simplicity as loyalty. To be loyal to one's teaching, one's line, one's spiritual master, or to mostly to Srila Prabhupada, in one's thinking and one's acting, is no kapatya, no cheating. This is very important. The Western mind is not so loyal. They go here and there, and their knowledge is what you could call, in philosophical term, eclectic. They take a little here, a little there, and want to construct their own new house. Be loyal. It makes life easy. And finally, try to develop faith. That's the third principle. When you stand before Radha Gopinath, why don't you do this next darshan? Thinking, here is Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. I cannot see yet. There's one of the cows, Acha, the cow is there. Maybe there are two cows even. I have not yet seen today. And there must be the whole, everyone must be there, the gopis, the gopas, Vrindavan. There is love on the altar, and the deities love me, and like this, look through the eyes of faith and you will see much more than if you look through the eyes of skepticism. In our Western civilization, and I want to just conclude it with this, simplicity is not en vogue. But if we live simplicity, understanding that it is the essence of spiritual life, we will understand how much it will help us. Become a saragrahi, that is an essence lover, and not a bharavahi, someone who has unwanted things in his life. Sometimes we may think there is a disadvantage to my being simple or becoming simple. Better I manipulate. Say here this, say here that, and then go in between and hope to not be detected by reality. But whatever you get when you rise high with duplicity, that you will lose either in this life, before your death, or after the great examination of our true qualities. Krishna, and be how do you say, be confident, take confidence in Krishna's name of being Patita Pavana. Krishna is known as Patita Pavana, the savior of the fallen. He's not known as Kapata Pavana. Kapata means the cheaters, the savior of the cheaters. This is what gives me a lot of faith in trying to be simple. To think, I don't have to be in the eyes of the Lord what I am not, to impress him. I can be what I am, a simple fallen soul of this world, and so on. But Krishna is still known as Patita Pavana, the savior of the fallen, not the Kapata Pavana. This is a point which comes from Gaura Govinda Maharaj. I like this play of words very much. Isn't it beautiful? Krishna is known as Patita Pavana, not Kapata Pavana. Even if one should momentarily have, maybe in this world of complications, some disadvantage, Krishna and the Vaishnavas will save you when they see that you are simple, because simplicity conquers the heart of God. Krishna. We made it, we made it. 3:40, I can't believe it. This was the first of five, because with humility it's so profound that we need 2 days to do it. of 5 workshops. Krishna. According to all I've learned in the Vaishnava training and education, this was the most miserable class which I have given, because you have to be public interactive. Like now in ISKCON, when I come somewhere and devotees want to know if they will sit throughout, give 45 minutes of their time to a class, or to a seminar, they ask me, Maharaj, will it be interactive? And I'm thinking the good ideas which we created in the Vaishnava Institute, what is it, VTE, Vaishnava Training and Education, have grown to become a monster which devour us. And now I say, I'm saying that interactive. Well, I will try. So tomorrow I will also try to be more. You know, I know that one has to have a little space and to think. Hare Krishna. So I will not take any questions because I'm up till 12 o'clock. No, we have one question. We have now 2.5 minutes. It's a little unusual for someone like me to be on time. So this is one great event in my life. Yes. Jamashtami Prabhu.
In the follow-up to Kripalana Mataji's question, it seems that the principle of Yukta Raghya is very, we use the word ashram and varna specific. It's very much influenced by the particular kind of service that we have. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Jamashtami Prabhu says that the principle of Vana, of Yukta Vairagya, is ashram specific. In other words, what a sannyasi does in the realm of Yukta Vairagya is traditionally different than what a grihastha does. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his writings goes in great lengths about, for instance, saying that for the grihastha, to touch his wife in a loving way is yukta vairagya, whereas this principle does not refer to sannyasis. There are other examples which are not so provocative for the listener, which also refer to this. Right now, it's in Bhaktya Lokya, there is a statement, and also in his commentaries to the Upadeshamrita, where, yes. Jamashtami has opened our vision in a very important direction. How do we deal with Yukta Vairagya in our own lives? Many of us older ones think that first one has to know what is Vairagya before one can know what is Yukta Vairagya, if one honestly wants to deal with this principle. That is, Vairagya is a symptom on the level of Bhava. That's a very high level, where Vairagya comes back to us as Virakti, a natural state of detachment. It's a level you have attained. Vairagya is more like a practice. So on the platform of love, you are in that state where you are not attracted by anything outside of what is usable for the lovable person. We have to practice a little Vairagya to not get entangled on our level. So this remains important for the devotees, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movements, because his movement is based on this type of, you know, not entangling yourself, this being a little reserved to the illusions of Maya. This is important. Now, Yukta Vairagya, connected detachment, if you so want. Yukta means connected. Really means you are not doing it for yourself. You're practicing still detachment. You're not grabbing it for you. It doesn't go, in other words, this direction to me, but it goes that direction to you, my Lord. This is Yukta Vairagya. And obviously it is based on detachment, just like leaving it behind and not doing anything with it. So Vairagya remains important, and because it's an intense principle, it has to be applied according to the specific situation of a devotee, that is, his situation within the ashrams. Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. Very good point. A very necessary point for our devotees to understand. So we have come to the natural conclusion here. Thank you very, very much for your kind participation, and I would be honored to see you again. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna.